morning.
Amen.
I see a lot of new faces here.
Amen. I
haven't been here for a while, but I'm sure happy to be here. See the pastor, and I saw his wife again, and his children. It's just sure enough to be in the house again.
Amen.
Thank you. Indeed. I know you people who want to sing along, go ahead. I saw the light.
Glory land. happened is I looked like one of them guys that'd be sitting on his rocking chair, you know, and...
I'm right behind him.
We got a lot of that around here. I was thinking about Scott could have brought his guitar. Brother Bryant had his guitar. And I could have brought my mandolin, and that would have made five of us here. We got nearly enough for a bluegrass band around here. Yeah. I'll tell you. One of these evenings we'll get together and have a real good picking and singing. How's that sound? Huh? All right. We're glad you're here today. And I looked out there and realized that 66 years ago, my wife and I started a population explosion. We got four generations of us. Of us here. You know, that's kind of nice, isn't it? I bet you, I don't know how many preachers there are in the city today that could say that they're preaching four generations in the family, but that's good. I love every one of you. Glad that you're here today. We've got so many of you that haven't seen since last Easter. last Sunday. Anyway, thank you for coming out to worship with us today. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to notice what time it is. Thirty minutes from now, you can look at your watch again. I don't know about you, but when I get in church, especially on Resurrection Day, I have a good time. Amen. I'd rather be here than anywhere I know. If I was at a restaurant down at Fuddruckers or someplace like that, I'd just be getting fatter, and I'd rather be here. But anyway, let's look here. Buddy read a couple of our verses here, but we'll start in verse 12, if you will, which says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead." That's what we preach, isn't it, around here? That Christ rose from the dead. "How say some of you among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Well, I hope that's none of you. Paul was talking about the people in Corinth a long time ago. That's not here in Bible Baptist Church today. Amen?
Amen.
Because we believe in the resurrection of the dead, yeah. "But if there be," listen, here's his reasoning. "If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Faith is what you believe. If you believe in resurrection and Christ is not raised, then your faith is vain, it's void, it's no good. "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. They also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all
be made alive. And folks, today is Easter Sunday. This is the day that we talk about resurrection, because that's what Easter is all about. Forget the Easter eggs, forget the Easter bunny. We're talking about Jesus. I would hope that you and I might feel as strongly about the resurrection of Christ as Paul did when he penned these words that we just read in 1 Corinthians 15. Resurrection from the dead is the very foundation of our faith. If Christ is not risen from the dead, let's close our Bibles, turn out the lights, and leave this building. I know that today there are descendants of those ancient Sadducees who say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But there are those among us who believe that there will come a day when the trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. And this future bodily resurrection of the saints is based wholly and solely on the literal bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the grave on the third day. Now the Bible says that Jesus showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. I've been there to Jerusalem. I've been to that garden where he was buried. I've personally stood in that empty tomb where the body of Christ was laid after Joseph of Arimathea and the rabbi Nicodemus took it down from the cross and wrapped it in burial clothes with the spices. And I believe the testimony of the angel that came down and rolled that stone away and sat upon it that we read about in Sunday school this morning. When he said he is not here, he is risen. Amen. If Christ was not risen from the dead, that means that he's still dead. That means he's still dead if he didn't rise from the dead, doesn't it? We read this morning about Mary Magdalene went there very early in the morning on that Sunday morning. She didn't believe in the resurrection either. She thought someone had stolen his body. Even the Roman guards standing watch over that sealed tomb, they didn't believe in the resurrection. But Mary told the disciples, they've taken away the body of the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we don't know where they've laid it. And even when she saw him in person, she thought that he was a gardener. And she said to him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away." And that Sunday evening, when he appeared to his disciples in the upper room, they saw him and they recognized him. But Thomas was not there, and they went and told Thomas that Jesus had appeared to them, and Thomas didn't believe it either. He said, "Except I shall see him and put my hands in his nail-scarred hands and my hand in his side, I'll not believe." If Christ is still dead, then there's no blood on the mercy seat to make atonement for our sins. You and I are yet in our sins. We have no sins forgiven if Christ is not risen. No forgiveness of sins. We're still hell-bound sinners. We haven't been saved yet, because we're saved by the blood. If Christ is still dead, think about it. Christianity is the largest religion in the world, number-wise. If Christ is not risen from the dead, The greatest hoax of all time has been perpetrated upon the sons of men. If Christ is still dead, then that Bible that you have in your hands has become the greatest book of fiction of all time. If Christ is still dead, the disciples of Christ all lived and preached and died in vain. And all of those Christian martyrs of all time who have died for their faith, and those that are dying today for their faith, are dying in vain. If Christ is still dead, then our preaching is a figment of our imagination. If Christ is still dead, there is no heaven, there is no hell, there is no hereafter, and there is no hope. And even if there were a heaven, we wouldn't know how to get there because Jesus is the way. He's the door. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, performed many mighty miracles. And in these miracles, he demonstrated the power of God. Remember when Nicodemus came to him? He was talking to him, and he said to Jesus, "No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Why, he went to a wedding in Cana of Galilee, performed his first miracle, turned the water into wine, didn't he? He stilled a storm on the Sea of Galilee. He walked on the water. He fed 5,000 men besides women and children with 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. Had 12 baskets full left over, by the way. He cast out devils and he cleansed the lepers. He caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the lame to walk. He healed the sick. And he went yonder to Bethany's graveyard and raised Lazarus from the dead. He'd been buried for 4 days in the tomb. But the greatest display of power was when Jesus Christ rose from the dead the third day. A dead man raised himself from the dead while he was dead. Now, if you don't have faith, you couldn't possibly believe that. Without faith, that's the most preposterous thing that you could even think of, isn't it? But his disciples saw him. The women who followed him saw him. Over 500 saw him at one time during those 40 days before his ascension. Doubting Thomas finally saw him. And he fell at his feet and said, "My Lord and my God." The power of the resurrection down through the years has changed the lives of countless millions of people. It has sobered the drunkard. It has reconciled families. It has restored homes. It's given strength to the weak and grace to the dying. The resurrection has given help to the hopeless and brought hope. Help to the helpless and brought hope to the hopeless. And after almost 2,000 years, it is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. How can anyone say there is no resurrection, particularly at this time of the year when we look out and see the trees whose limbs have been barren for the winter, now budding forth and putting forth leaves and bearing fruit. And all the flowers are blooming. Take a look at nature. It was built into nature. To say there's no resurrection of the dead is to confess to spiritual ignorance. Resurrection is interwoven into every page in the Bible. Jesus says, because I live, ye shall live also. If death is the end, and there is no hereafter, the human race is left without hope of any kind. Believers are encouraged and empowered by that wonderful promise of resurrection. Listen to the faith of Job. We went through the book of Job recently on Wednesday evenings. That was the first book of the Bible that was ever written, not Genesis. And Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold. That was his faith. Fear of death is gone. Hope of eternal life revives. We can stand by the graveside of a loved one at the cemetery, and we can say over them, I know that you're with Jesus. And one of these days, I'll be joining you. Wait for me, I won't be long. I can pillow my head in the comfort of hope that what God has promised, he is able to perform.
Amen.
When we die, our weary bodies will rest in the grave until the sound of the trumpet. And I'm glad that man cannot put me into anything that the Lord cannot get me out of.
Amen.
The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. One of the most exciting things about Christianity is the miracle of a new birth. It constantly amazes me the change that takes place in a person's life when they become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amazing. It's hard to understand how an old sinner, raw-boned sinner, can simply believe that Jesus Christ died for his sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, and that person is saved, becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. He is instantaneously transformed from a sinner into a saint. By trusting Jesus, his citizenship is changed. He's moved from a state of condemnation in Satan's kingdom of darkness to full justification from all things in God's glorious kingdom of light. Simply by believing that God raised Jesus from the dead changes a person from a child of the devil to a child of God. Listen to what Peter tells us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again. That begotten is born again. Begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Man, isn't that wonderful? You see, by accepting Christ as your personal Savior, the eternal destiny of your mortal soul is changed from hell to heaven.
Amen.
When we believe in Jesus, all of our sins are forgiven us, and we can stand boldly in the presence of God, clothed in the imputed righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because when we receive Christ as our Savior, we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I'm not talking religion to you this morning. I'm talking Christianity. Of all the religions in the world, Christianity is the only one that has a living Savior. Think about it. You may not believe what I'm saying. It may sound like a bunch of malarkey to you, but that's all right. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for your sins, whether you believe it or not. You're not believing it doesn't make it any less true. He wants to be your Savior whether you want Him to be or not. Strictly up to you. If you don't come to Christ, I can understand. Because no one can come to Christ except the Holy Spirit draw him. If the Holy Spirit of God doesn't draw you to Christ, don't you come. You'd be a hypocrite if you did. No one is going to force you to be a Christian. If you came in unsaved today and you don't believe in Christ and you don't believe in God, you don't believe in the resurrection, we're not going to throw rocks at you till you die. You can leave just as lost as you were when you came in. That's up to you. No one's going to force you. No one's going to compel you to believe in Jesus. It's strictly a matter of your own personal choice. The Holy Spirit will lead you, but you must choose to follow. He doesn't force you. If you insist on going to hell, there is no one that's going to stop you. No one. Not even God. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's your right. That's your right. None of us are going to throw rocks at you. Forget it. If you don't believe that He died on the cross for your sins and was buried in Joseph's tomb and rose from the dead the third day, that's your right. Did you know that there are more people in the world, if you believe that or don't believe it, there's more people like that in the world than there are that do? You're simply joining the billions of atheists that don't believe in God or don't believe in Christ and don't believe the Bible. You're in the majority. No one's going to force you to believe in Him. That's your own decision. And you alone are responsible for it. I know that not everyone's going to be saved. I wish they would. God would like for them to be saved too. But, God wants the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached to everyone. And He wants everyone to have the opportunity to be saved. Giving the invitation to come to Jesus is just His way of sorting out the believers from the unbelievers. Because the believers will come, the unbelievers won't. And God doesn't have to do the sorting. People do the sorting themselves. Those who receive Christ and accept Him, They're the ones that are saved. That's the ones that he saves. The ones who reject him, well, they just stay lost. That's all it is. But I want to make it plain to you today that if you want to be saved, you can be saved.
Amen.
God wants you to be saved. The devil doesn't want you to be saved. But please understand that if and when you ever do get saved, it's going to be on God's terms, and it will be through Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
That's the only way that anyone in this world will ever be saved. And it'll be because God loves you. It'll be because he died for your sins. When he was crucified on that cross, what held him there was not the nails through his hands and his feet. Sure, that held him physically, but he was God. He could have called 10,000 angels that would have delivered him in a moment. But what held him to that cross was his love for you and for me. God loves you. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose from the dead the third day. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this beautiful resurrection day, the first day of the week. We celebrate your resurrection. We do that every week. That's what Sunday is all about. Because it was on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, that you came out of the grave. And Father, we thank you this morning that you have through the shedding of your blood, paid the price for our sins. And we thank you that through your grace and your goodness toward us, through your resurrection from the dead, we can have eternal life. If there's one in this congregation today that would like to be saved and would walk down this aisle today and make a public profession of their faith in Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today they will come as the invitation is given, because it will mean so much to them and to you if they will come. Now, if there's a person here that they say, no, I don't believe that Christ died for my sins. I don't believe that he rose from the dead. I don't believe that he was even the Son of God. Then, Lord, we don't want them to come if they don't believe. But if there's one here today that will say, I believe that Jesus died for my sins and shed his blood for me, and that through his resurrection I can be saved, then that's the person that we want to respond in this invitation today. So let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
497.
Number 497. Let's sing a verse of invitation. We're not going to make it long. I know it's after 12. I know that you have places to go, things to do. But what if it were your soul? Will you come? Since no one came, I am to assume that you're satisfied with your spiritual condition before God. If you are saved, praise God, I hope that's the reason you didn't step out today, because you already made your public profession of faith in Christ. And if you're here lost and you didn't step down the aisle and make a public profession of faith in Christ, I'm assuming that you are unsaved and you're content to be that way. You're content to go on in your unbelief, go on, continue on in your sins, and face death without God and without Christ and without hope. I take it that you had rather go to hell than to go to heaven, because it takes a choice that you make today as to where your eternal, immortal soul is going to wind up. I want to thank you for coming today and for being honest before the Lord. And I trust that the decision that you make in your heart today will be one that you can live with, not only for the rest of your life, but for all eternity to come. As we bow in prayer, Brother John Simpson, would you lead us, please, in our benediction.
Gracious Father, we praise you today for this wonderful day that occurs every year, in which we are reminded very forcefully that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We read in your word that God raised him from the dead. We read in your word that he raised himself from the dead. Therefore, we must deduct that he is God, risen from the dead. And for that, we want to praise and bless you and thank you, for we know that that's why he went to Calvary, as was predicted that he would raise himself on the third day. And in that resurrection, those who believe share in that resurrection. We know that when he died, we died. When he rose, we rose. And we are even now seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We thank you for this assurance that we have on this wonderful resurrection day, that we met the conditions, namely, that they that believe that he was raised from the dead and confess it with their mouths, they shall be saved. And we pray, Father, that this message that has been given today may linger in our hearts, as those who are saved rejoice in him, rejoice in his wonderful resurrection, that we know that we are already saved for eternity. And we pray, Father, that if there is one in this meeting this morning, or any that is in this meeting today, that that message may linger with them in conviction as the Holy Spirit works in their lives to persuade them that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only hope, as we have been reminded this morning. And so as we go our various ways, we want to praise and bless you, Father, for this wonderful resurrection morning where most of us rejoice in his resurrection. We thank you for that beautiful hope and joy that we have. And so dismiss us now, Father, with your blessing as we run upon these things, as we rejoice in his resurrection, the glorious hope that we have for the future. We pray in his holy and blessed name. Amen.
Amen. he's deployed.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're going to try to get back there after he gets back. Uh-huh. We were hoping to go. But now we don't know the schedule on that ship. They might get extended. Their crews might get extended. And pretty much everyone is saying it is.
Is that because of what's going on over there?
I think so. But you never know. Things can change. Things can change. You know, you and I have been out there. I was going to have a short cruise.
Yeah.
And then,
oh man,
it took Kuwait.
I was out there. Our longest line period, I think I was out there for almost 90. Almost 90 days. We had a really long one. Got extended out there. We were people who were making line. It was crazy.
Ours was supposed to be a twilight tour before we went to Japan and relieved midway, and then we got turned around. We didn't even hit Diego Garcia. We were supposed to hit Diego Garcia. Been my first time to see Australia, so I never did make it to Australia.
You didn't?
No. Yeah, Danny did. But not me. Anyway, you know all that. We were 126 days straight sea time. By the time we got relieved, because we were the first aircraft carrier to pull in through the Straits of Hormuz. Yep, our captain was gung-ho. He goes, no, we got it. And we had
a Gulf War happened.
Yeah.
We went on a cruise, came back.
Yep.
We were home for 2 weeks and had to turn around and go back.
Wow.
It was.
That would be even harder. Us, we got extended.
No, that was
we got extended.
So you had sent in Japan?
Yeah. We actually hit Japan. I was in the Indies. We hit Japan.
OCC, I was the commander of something for the Admiral ship. It was good duty. Or sea duty. I mean, we pulled up to every port. We pulled right in to the meeting. We were the first ones in. So it was real good duty, but when the war happens, that's also bad duty because he's got to be right on the station. But they gave me for Christmas. I got to fly out of Bahrain. Yeah, to go home for a week.
You're like, oh man, that was worth the flight.
Folks, we're gonna head home.
Yeah.
We're gonna keep going at the house.
We got a hammer.
No, the other grandparents are hopping on the tongue.
See how it is?
I hate that. Yeah. It's not fair.
No, it's just
first Easter.
No, you just need to go jump in. You just have to crash the party.
She thinks we spent too much time on the party.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
well.
That's all right. No, you get your...
Wait, can we get a guy living with Tim and Monica?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's because Monica's that kind of girl.
She's fine.
Yeah.
It's just quiet.
Probably better than what I used to be.
One Sunday morning, I sing a song and everything, and I go outside, and Alice is banging my dad's truck and kicking the truck and slamming the door.
She wasn't happy.
He kicked my kid.
And my dad, you know, Tim kicked Danny, and then my dad kicked Tim, booted him on his diaper.
You didn't see it.
No, well, he booted Tim. And here comes Alice.
She was not happy.
A mad wet hen.
I understand that.
And then I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did it take to smooth that one over?
Oh, Bob. I don't know, a couple of weeks. Yeah. Well, then my mom didn't help. You need to get her committed.
Later. It's okay. We gotta talk about this. But yeah, she came over and we got her church. She goes, buddy, you gotta do something. That's crazy. She needs
again.
They're from that old school,
would,
though.
And I yelled at him, and he went tearing out of the yard, and, you know, spinning his tires. And his mom was like, "Now look what you did."
Yeah, they're trying to fix him up. The next time he got Tim, I think Tim, how old was he? Like 5? And my dad goes, "Get away from the stove." And there was boiling water. And Tim just looked at him and went over. And my dad jerked him over there and swatted him on his butt. Then
he smacked him on the head.
Whatever. Anyway, got his attention.
Butt would have been okay.
And then Tim goes running, crying to Mama. And Mama went,
"It was always the Tim." Mama, I thought it would have been Danny, but it's Tim.
It was a baby.
Yeah, no, Danny and my dad, they went on trips together. Danny would look at the other nephews. You know, the other nephews and would act up. You know, Danny was.
Oh, yeah, Matthew and John.
Yeah, they would all be fighting, but Danny and my dad, they're like that. And Tim and my dad now are like that. But man, when Tim and they're living right across the street, my dad would try to take on some discipline. You know, and that's
smart.
That's what I've always learned. And that's what I tell.
We never even let that happen. We could never, ever, she would have never let me live across the street from
right.
My folks.
Yeah. No, it's tough.
No way.
We were like from here to, you know, 25 yards away.
No way. It wouldn't happen.
Yeah. And then, so that's one thing. It's like Danny and Tiffany had to live with his in-laws for about a year. And now those kids are in Papa's house, and Papa is physically, you know, banging, you know, hitting them.
And Danny and Dennis are going.
And yelling. Yeah. You know, and then, so, you know, and then the thing was, it was kind of, because Dylan was out there, and he was egging Dennis' son, Tiffany's dad. And, it was funny, Dennis go, "Better watch it, boy." And Dylan would go, "Better watch it, boy." And then he goes, I'll boot your butt. You know, he just like, he's a little dandy.
Yeah.
You know, and he just right mimicking. And I'm sitting there kind of smiling. And then he goes, then Dennis made a move for him and he cowered. So you can tell Dennis has done stuff to him before. And he come over by me and he goes, "Papa Buddy won't boot my butt." And he goes, "He would if he had to." And I go, "Well, I don't want you to get run over by a car. You know, I might jerk your butt out of the way, but I go, it's not my job to discipline this kid. You know, I go, I go, it'll be good." And at that time was when they were closing on their house. I go, "It'll be good for you, Dennis, to get your own place back and let them have their own place. Then you can just be a grandpa."
That's it.
You know, and then he's just looking at me like, you know, like, "Oh, no, he wants to be the disciplinarian," you know. I go, "No, you just need to be the grandpa."
I'm glad I got that right from the beginning. I don't want anything to do with that.
No, that's no.
I tell your time.
That's what Danny said.
I made my mistakes. No way.